Let's get the show on the road.
Good evening. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. It is 7 o'clock p.m. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was published in 100 Review, posted on the Township Bulletin Board, and as a courtesy, posted on the Township website. Official action will be taken at this meeting. Okay, I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the flag salute and then a moment of silence for our ICE agents in the way of protesters.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Here.
Ms. Fuller?
Here.
Mr. McKee?
Here.
Mr. Webb?
Here.
Mr. Woj?
Here. All right. We're going to go through the minutes. I think there's one or two that, Rich, you're going to, so the 2025, Rich, you have to recuse from, I believe.
Yes.
Since you weren't here. And then
abstain.
Yeah. And then Tom, you have one.
And I have.
And then Bev, too. Okay. Let's hope that it's not.
So if we don't take it in a group, we should be all right. If we do,
we can't do it in a group.
I was thinking for the one.
Yeah, we'll have to do it individually.
Abstain from that.
Yeah, do them individually.
Okay. So let's do the presentation minutes 12/3/2025. Does anybody have any discussion on those minutes of the meeting? Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the regular and executive session meeting minutes of December 3rd, 2025.
Second.
Mr. Abagowski?
Yes.
Ms. Fuller?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Abstain.
Mr. Woj?
Yes. All right. Moving to the Moving to the special meeting, regular session meeting minutes of 12/9, and also the executive session meeting minutes from 12/9. Can I get a motion to approve? First of all, did anybody see anything in there that needs further discussion? Errors? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the meeting, special meeting on 12/9 and the executive session for 12/9, 2025?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All right.
Mr. Abagowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Abstain.
Mr. Webb?
Abstain.
Mr. Woj?
Yes. All right. I'm going to take these two same way. The special meeting, regular session meeting minutes from 12/16/2025, and the executive session meeting from 12/16/2025. Can I get any discussion from anybody? Does anybody find anything egregious, wrong?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of December 16th special meeting minutes and executive meeting minutes.
Second.
Mr. Abagowski?
Yes.
Ms. Fuller?
Abstain.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Abstain.
Mr. Woj?
Yes. All right, moving on. We're going to take these two together as well. Excuse me, sorry. Forgot to bring water up here. The reorganization meeting minutes from January 5th, 2026, and the executive session meeting minutes from January 5th, 2026. Can I get anything on there that anybody found wrong? Questions? Okay.
If there's no changes, I'll make a motion to approve the reorganization meeting minutes, and as well the reorganization executive meeting minutes for January 5th, 2026.
Second.
Mr. Abagowski?
Abstain.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Woj?
Yes. All right, one more. The budget work session meeting minutes from January 15th, 2026. Anybody have any notes, questions, discussion? Okay. Can I get a motion to approve?
Second.
Mr. Abagowski?
Yes. So moved.
Second.
Mr. Abernathy?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wogan?
Yes. All right. Okay, we're to that part of the fun part of the meeting. Can we get somebody to make a motion to open to public comments limited to 2 minutes per speaker?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Mr. Abernathy?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wogan?
Yes. No, I'm all right. Thank you. I usually bring my propeller.
I'll take that.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. Now, are you you're going to discuss the trees? The tree cutting along the road that you said JCP now is doing? Carolyn sent me the... Boy, I'm echoing. Carolyn sent me what they're going to do. So they're saying 15 feet. So that's not going to go across the road. I have trees across the street from me that... Just the tops of the tree. Two of them came down in one storm one night. One cracked the bridge, which they've since fixed, and one hit a van that I have parked that broke the window out. We don't know how it missed the lines, but there's still pieces of that tree there. It'll come down, and they did our road today. They came the second time. So they're not going to take anything across the street. They told me they're only going to do anything that goes right to the line. So how do we get the trees down?
Why don't we take this offline? We could talk with the clerk. We have some people that we can contact at JCP&L. Maybe they'll help us out.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? I'm just doing 15 feet. Taking consideration of trees that are on the other side of the road. Because when those trees come down, they're going to take the lines that are right across the street. There's so many trees that are literally like this across the road.
Okay. Anybody else?
Bill Bone. I know when JCPL came last time, you know, many years ago, they only had like 10% in extra in their budget to do beyond the 15-foot. But they have a forester come out. They look at the trees, go through the process. And I wasn't able to prevail on getting them to do anything beyond that 15 foot because I had trees going across the same situation. I don't think that's gonna. That's when I think it was Hickory Run, not Hickory Run, Buffalo Hollow or something got hit real bad coming up from the old generation station.
Yep, Rocky Run.
Rocky Run. So. On the agenda, there's something about the minutes, 2 minutes, and I guess you're going to discuss that. I think we got to have something. 2 minutes is skimpy, so anywhere between 2 and 5, it's arbitrary where you have 3 minutes, 4 minutes, because you have the authority to extend it depending on the conversation. And I think we went to the budget meeting. I went to the budget meeting last week. It was a little concerning and depressing because we're about 400 G's in the hole that we got to come down on a gap. And then I see in the ordinance, I see you have a resolution, is it, to extend it, to increase it, the budget?
Oh, the cap.
The budget cap?
That's
Is that different?
Yeah, it's not related to
it's
that.
It's not with that, right?
No. Yeah. I think that's what you're talking about. The ordinance that we have in place for tonight is the cap bank, which allows us a cost of living adjustment above what the good director of goods and service of the state is telling us it needs to be here. By doing this, we can elevate it.
But it's not what the CFO was talking about. Well, it's part of, right? It's not what the CEO.
It's part of the appropriations. Yes.
Right. So we're still in the whole 400 grand that you guys got to work hard and figure it out. And I know, Tom, you've been here 15 budgets.
Yeah.
So I don't know, in your opinion, how this one looks compared to the ones
we
in the past.
We just got started, and I think if everyone gives us enough time, we will work our way through it.
Yeah, you got to go through each line item and stuff like that, but I do see it much more challenging because there's only so much you can do.
And we're starting 2 months early. We started in January instead of waiting till March. So
there's only so much you can do. And I think there was, that's fine. I know there was one other thing, but not important. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Can I get a motion to close public comments?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to do some ordinance introductions now. I'm going to introduce ordinance number 01-2026, which Mr. Bone just mentioned. Ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank for calendar year 2026.
Motion to approve. Well, the hearing will be, when is the hearing?
Oh, down on the bottom, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
Public hearing date for ordinance 01-2026, and then the other one will be scheduled for, and 02-2026 is scheduled for Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. And then the other ordinance that we are introducing is, what's that?
You'll take a motion to introduce.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance number 01-2026. Establishing a cap bank for the calendar year of 2026.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes, with a public hearing date of 01 is
February
Wednesday,
11th.
February 11th, yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Okay. Can I get a motion on ordinance 02-2026?
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance number 02-2026, establishing salary pay range for officer and employee positions within the Township of Lebanon for the calendar year 2026, with a public hearing scheduled for Wednesday, February 11th, 2026.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
All right. On to the next page, if you're following along. Resolution number 28-2026, accepting the tax collector's 2025 annual report. Can I get a motion?
Make a motion to adopt resolution 28-2026, accepting the tax collector's 2025 annual report.
Before there's a second, do you think we ought to put the numbers out there for the record? You know, 2026 taxes that have been collected, 2025 the total taxes, so we have that number out there. Yeah, will if
you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the tax collection office for the year ending December 31st, 2025 has established the taxes that have been collected. 2026 taxes prepaid, $289,075.68. 2025 taxes, $27,221.70. $2,024 taxes, $564,365.75. Penalties were $13,991.69. And miscellaneous, $380. Interest earned, $89,292.71. That gave a total of $28,178,175.94. I'll second that motion.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
No problem, brother.
Okay. On to resolution number 29, 2026, authorizing the refund of tax overpayment for the for number 10 Point Mountain Road, Block 56, Lot 11Q0163. Can I get a motion to author a motion for that?
Motion to approve resolution number 29-2026.
Second.
Mr. Ovechowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. All right, moving on. Resolution number 30-2026, resolution authorizing the redemption of a tax sale certificate, number 24-003 for 509 West Hill Road, Block 35, Lot 44. Can I get a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 30-2026, authorizing a redemption of a tax sale certificate, number 24-0003.
Second. Mr. Ovechowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay. Resolution number 31-2026, authorizing the award of professional service agreement to Gephardt and Kiefer Law Offices as special counsel for affordable housing. Can I get a motion to adopt?
Motion to approve resolution number 31-2026.
Second.
Second.
Mr. Ovechowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Abstain.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes.
Just if I could, Mr. Mayor, there was a consent order, if you remember, that at the end of the year, Tara had sent a consent order with Fair Share Housing because there's no objections, but Fair Share Housing, even though there's no objections, they're just sending these letters. So that consent order was entered. Planner, having a senior moment. Thank you, Jessica Caldwell. Had submitted drafts. There's two ordinances basically you have to adopt. There'll be a development fee ordinance, affordable housing ordinance, and then an affirmative marketing plan. They updated, interestingly enough, there was updated regs that were adopted on December 15th, 2025. Now, that's going to impact these other documents. And the law that they adopted put these really time-framed lines in that are almost not, it makes them almost difficult, if not impossible, to meet, because those ordinances and the affirmative marketing plan have to be adopted by March 15th, 2026 by statute. So, though Jessica did submit drafts of those three documents to Fair Share for their review, so then ultimately what will happen is this governing body will adopt those, and then there will be a final order to give you repose against Builder's Remedy suit for the next 10 years once that's entered. So that's where we are.
Thank you, Mr. Mark. All right, we have one more resolution here. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Number 32-2026, authorizing the redemption of a tax sale certificate, number 25-005 for 405 Trimmer Road, Block 43, Lot 1.01. Can I get a motion to adopt?
Motion to approve resolution number 32-2026.
Second the motion to adopt resolution number 32-2026.
Mr. Ovechowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move to any other discussion about that? We're good? All right. We're going to move to unfinished business, and the first item on unfinished business is the 2026 committee meeting dates. I think committee person Kohler wants to make some remarks.
Yeah, I know we talked about it at the reorg meeting, but we made it an amendment that we would talk about it at the submission just to close it out. You know, I don't know how anybody feels about it, but we went through a year of the once a month meetings, and I kind of just scratched out my thoughts on some of the things that can happen. I'm not saying we have to vote on anything. We already have a schedule, but I need to say it. And some of the things, this is just forward projecting. It's not saying anything has happened or whatever, but you're going to run the risk of, like, instead of having two meetings a month, you have special meetings. The attorney is not always going to be at those special meetings, first of all, and some of them are executive session, and you might need that attorney guidance, municipal attorney guidance. But more so than that, even, when you have special meetings and you're in a rush to put them together, you can tend to have less of a full committee discussion. You could end up with four people. If you don't have five, you could end up with three people, not even a supermajority, because at three people, then if you have another special meeting on the same subject, especially if it's something big like a contract, a public contract negotiation, you could have three different people at the first meeting saying something and three different people at the next meeting, and those three people can adopt a resolution or, you know, resolution on a contract. And you haven't had a full committee discussion, and you haven't had a chance to have the whole committee there along the way. I'm just saying that's something that could happen. Again, no municipal attorney. Special. If you can't make a special meeting and it's an executive session, you can't even call in. But that's true whether you have a regular meeting or not. But if you need it in a hurry, you can't call in because they don't know who's in the room with you. So the attorney won't let you, call in. Let's see what else I have here. It's, the residents, again, they have one shot a month to come up and talk in public comment. And it's okay to say that, talk to your committee person, email the clerk or whatever, but sometimes somebody might want to bring an issue to the public and even have it in the newspaper. So I'm just saying it's going to be one of those things where it's not always solved by meeting with somebody outside of a public meeting if it's something big enough in somebody's mind. You also run the risk of, everybody means well, but you run the risk of unauthorized decisions being made because you're trying to get through 30 days and people are like, let's just whatever, that can happen again, all in the interest of we want to do the right things and not hold up the process and we don't have time for a special meeting. Vendors who missed the cutoff of the bill payment could wait. Could be 6 weeks, I think it is what I was told. It's either 4 to 6 weeks for a bill payment because we used to approve them, twice a month. And let's see. Summer months are fine. I mean, it's slower in the summer. I could see once a month in the summer. I'm not against that, too. I'd rather see them put two meetings on and cancel one if you don't need it. And even maybe if you have a second meeting and you don't have ordinances, you maybe have it as not a workshop, but like just resolutions that have to be passed or bills that have to be signed that you get out early and you have public comment and it's over. And the other thing was I said, we have budget workshops. So if I need an executive session, for example, we could tack one onto the front of the budget workshop and go into, behind closed doors, or we could tack it on the other end. But our by-the-book attorney, which I'm very happy we have a by-the-book attorney, said, no, you're not going to do stuff like that. It's got to be a regular meeting. Did I imitate you well?
No. I don't think I ever say no.
You asked.
Yeah, I might be
from New Jersey, born and raised in Canada, yeah. But I don't think I ever talked with public.
Let's see. I think there's just a couple more things here.
A few dark stares.
Yeah. I feel sometimes like, you come in, this, you don't know what's going on. 30 days, you have to come here and find out. And every time I come here, I find out something different that's going on that I didn't realize that if we had been at a meeting, we probably could get updated on it as a team so that everybody understands the same thing at the same time. It's to me, it's inefficient. I just think it's, all right, let's not call it inefficient. I just don't think it's optimal. And I come out of a business environment, and that's why I feel the way I do. So I just needed to get that off my chest. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I would like to agree with everything that Bev Kohler just said. I don't really have anything to add to that. I think she spoke well in terms of the reasons to have more than one meeting a month. I think that I agree about the summer also. If people feel it's slow in the summer, one meeting a month is fine there. But I think it's a better practice to have two meetings a month scheduled and cancel the meeting if it's not needed rather than one meeting a month and then have to schedule a special meeting if you need it. And that would apply to the it's really now we're talking about 9 months because we're already done with January with two meetings in January. So there's really, if you leave out 2 months in the summer, you've got nine months where you would need to schedule a second meeting, and I would be in favor of that.
Oh, the other thing I forgot to add, too, is that, and you reminded me just because it's you, now, okay, so we have to do something with Board of Health. I think you said we could talk about that at this meeting. If you're going to have it the second Wednesday, then we move the Board of Health. But also, now we're in a situation where you can't, you're going to have to move library meetings if you want to go as a liaison, right? Because doesn't it coincide with the second Wednesday?
I'm not sure, but if it does, it does.
Yeah, so he can't, your liaison can't come. Now, and Mark, you're no longer available on the first Wednesday.
Not for certain, but I'll know for certain probably tomorrow.
Hmm. Yeah, and see, this is what goes on even with special meetings, because if I say, can you come to a meeting, I don't know. I'm not sure yet, you know? So this is the kind of stuff.
Yeah, but
it's
that's
not
true
on the
regardless,
schedule.
Bev. I mean, to the extent that I was needed for special meetings, no one's ever asked me, can you be here? And I said no.
No, but I did ask you. We were trying to coordinate a date one time. We don't want to get into that here.
Oh,
but
you're making a representation. So,
but I never heard back. So I'm just saying it's inefficient because we have to scramble to try to get special meetings when you could have two, and you're already sometimes having two or three anyway, and because they're all special and not everybody can make it. And I do worry about the decision-making process on some of this stuff because it can be bad if it goes wrong. Anyway, that's it. That's all I wanted to say. So,
you're lucky I didn't get the gavel out. That was past 2 minutes.
Well, it's been brewing. But the thing is, so we have to also talk. What do you want to do? You want to vote on Board of Health now?
No, we're talking about meetings once a month or not.
Yeah, but are you going to vote on this?
We can.
All right.
But we already kind of talked about this in December. But if you'd like us to have a vote, we can have a vote.
Yeah, let's have a vote then. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to push a vote, but
that's okay. Let's have a vote.
Can we
Everybody's
review
here.
What we agreed to? I thought the last time we
Do you have the dates that we had? Meeting a month on the second Wednesday of the month. But then we added a bunch of other dates.
Yes, we did.
In that meeting.
Yes, we did.
And I think you showed them.
I have them on the phone. That's right. I texted them to you.
They're actually in the minutes.
Are they in the minutes? It's only two. Two extra.
There was two that had a conflict that I remember.
Yeah, it was Board of Adjustment.
But they adjusted their schedule because other committees have to adjust their schedule to accommodate the Township Committee. That was on the advice of our attorney.
Just vote on it without a resolution, can we?
I mean, we need to go to the. You could do it at the next meeting.
Mark?
Mark, do we need a resolution?
Do we need a resolution, or we kind of already talked about it?
What are you voting on? You're voting.
We kind of already talked about it and
voted
on
this once before.
Right, so.
And we made concessions to make sure that we had up front multiple meetings. So there's not special meetings being put together up front. It was at the May, June, July, August, September months that we chose to have one meeting. And we had given extra meetings up front. We have it somewhere. So.
Right. There was the reorg. Yeah, you adopted a schedule. You had to adopt a schedule.
Right.
January 21st, February 11th, February 25th, March 11th, April 8th, April 22nd, May 13th, June 10th, July 8th, August 12th, September 9th, October 14th.
These are the minutes from that meeting.
November 12th, moved to Thursday due to Veterans Day, and 12-19. Or 12-9, rather.
We did add some meetings in the beginning of the year.
Yes.
So there was two meetings a month, I believe.
And it was with the understanding that we could have one, but if we needed a second, we had it on the schedule.
Right. And then there was two that were in conflict, and that was rectified.
Mm-hmm. These are the... It's in the meeting.
But
it's
we can
minutes.
Vote on it again if you'd like.
I don't know if we came out of public session and into public and voted on that. I think it was just a consensus.
We did it in executive, and then we also did it in
public. It was a consensus.
All right, so let's vote on it. Can we vote on it?
Well, you've already adopted.
Yes. We'd have to amend it.
Right. The question, you're right. The question is, do you want to amend the official schedule that's been adopted, right? So, and then if you do want to amend it, then yes, you would need to adopt a resolution establishing those an amended meeting schedule.
But the official vote that we took did not include those ones that we thought were Board of Adjustment problems.
Correct.
So that's what I'm saying. So we voted on it.
As a special at the next meeting.
Yeah, so we voted on them at the reorg meeting without those dates. So this would be amending it to add those dates back in because the Board of Adjustment would have moved their.
But I don't know which date you're referring to.
It's only two that we're at. It was like the April. The compromise was, I think it was April 22nd, and what was the other one?
225.
And April 22nd?
Yeah.
April
22nd,
correct. Those were the only two.
25th.
I don't remember. We
have a budget
meeting on the
24th. And 422. Mm-hmm.
You don't have one tomorrow? No,
not
February
12th.
Oh.
Yeah, we had her fix some meetings for January.
Wow.
So 225.
So the two meetings that the dates now, we have moved the, we're able to accommodate us for those dates?
Yeah.
So at the next meeting, can we have a resolution to special meetings, which is plenty in advance?
Wait a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
Did the agenda include those, when they adopted the meeting, so you want to add those two meetings?
Yes.
So that the next meeting, Carolyn will prepare a resolution that will amend the meeting date and include those two. You need a resolution because that's get published.
Right.
In order to be official.
Yeah.
All right.
So you could take a motion if you want to do that to add those two and then file an amended meeting schedule. That would be your motion.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, I would like to have seen some in the back half of the year, but I'm fine with getting anything extra like that. And then at least it cuts out some of that needing the special. Scrambling to get special meetings and.
I thought those were included because that's what was discussed. Okay, so you would have to ask for a motion for the next meeting to amend the official meeting schedule to include
April 20th.
February 25th and April 22nd.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Mr. Abakowski?
I need to see what all the dates are.
They're in your.
Give me 2 days,
here.
Huh?
Yes. On the bottom.
Let's see.
I took the liberty of bringing that with me.
One in March, two in April, one in May, one in June, July and August, September 1, one the rest of the month.
Yeah.
April good. And February are the only ones that are different from what was on the reorg.
Sounds good.
Mr. Abakowski.
Yes.
Ms. Kohler.
Yes.
Mr. McKee.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mr. Wogan.
Yes. Okay. We got that out of the way. Let's put that back in my folder. All right. Tom, Deputy Mayor, would you like to talk about the museum roof?
Yeah, I will. New Hampton Historic District has a contributing building, which is the Lebanon Township Museum. And the Lebanon Township Museum is in need of a roof. And it's a slate roof with copper. And it's a historical building, which we need to follow guidelines from the New Jersey Preservation Office that we must follow these guidelines. So we've been looking at this for over a year, maybe longer. Carolyn's been an extensive help. Lori Hoffman as well has been very helpful on this, getting the information. The attorney was with me over the weekend getting this information together that I think we can do this. I think we can. In front of us is three architectural firms who put proposals out to us. The first one came in October from a outstanding firm in Philadelphia, but I think that, in my opinion, I don't know how the rest of the committee feels, I think it's more than what we need. They're a nationwide architectural firm that is just glamored in history, and that's their thing. And I think that it's a little bit more than we need, and I think the Philadelphia-New Jersey kind of connection is a little bit logistically a little bit long. I know that electronically and phone calls and stuff like that, but site visits to the building and everything to see it could be hindering. And then we have two other little fresher proposals, and they're more local. And they're the two that I would hope that the Township Committee would look at. My thought, and I'm going to go right into it right here, part of the reason why I have this at this time is that the grant cycle starts in March 31st. So to coordinate the grants, we need a set of plans of some degree that would help the historian committee apply for grants. So that's a reason why we need to think about, if we're going to do this project, that we need to think about getting an architect settled in with the township to begin this process. So the first company, I'll just mention the name, was WJE out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Outstanding architectural firm, but they come in close to $60,000 to do the project. $51,000 to do the project. So I think that it's more than we need. So I'd like to move on to the other firm, which is HMR Architects. They are located in Princeton, and I think that they have really given you a complete proposal on what needs to be done. There'll be structural plans. There'll be cross-sections of the roof system. And the reason we wanted to get to architects so that when we go out for bid, public bid, that everyone's bidding on the same project. The roofing, the type of roofing, the spacing, the skip sheeting, what we're doing with the fascia boards, and what the project would consist of is the roof up, which includes the belfry, the slate and copper, the facade of the belfry, if it needs new wood and painting, the type of paint. It gets right into what kind of wood, what kind of paint it needs to be used, and then the actual main roof, which is not an overly big roof, but it's slate with copper, built-in gutters. We have developed a leak in the gutters right now, and it's a nuisance leak. It's not inside the building, but it leaks over the front door when you open the door, and it's kind of went this weather, freeze and thaw, freeze and thaw. So we are in need of a roof. So getting back to the architects, this group HMR, I really appreciated them coming through. They brought the number down from $51,000. This group was $27,950.
It's a big difference.
And they brought it down, right? So Carolyn, she interviewed some of these without me, and then we met finally with the architect from Flemington and Pickell Architecture, and we physically met with him in the building, and it was kind of a great meeting. And he kind of fit the bill what we were looking for. So now you can tell where I'm leaning on this one. He's there. He met us. He's willing to work with us, but he doesn't want to be architecturally supervising the job like the other ones want. They want to be on the project on a daily basis, and they want to, you know, have full say on what's being done. And I don't know if we need that. You know, I just think we need a set of plans drawn that shows what we want, and so that any of the bidders are bidding exactly the same thing. So Pickell Architects, to me, has come in, and they brought the number in, and I don't know if it is as inclusive as the last architect, but I think with his hourly rate and his fee is $7,550. So we really kept bringing the numbers down, working to get the architect. And his hourly rate is reasonable, and I think if we think about things, $27, $51, $7,500. If we need additional work, I think we could get it and still be under the last bidder's number. So the next question is, how are we going to afford this? Right? We got a tough budget. There is a mechanism for us to use the Open Space Trust Fund of Lebanon Township for historic preservation. Now, I had to run the gauntlet with our attorney here to prove to him that this was truly a historic building district. And I think we've got that. So we're in agreement that by apportioning the money, which we did last year, it never leaves the trust fund. The money's there, but we apportion it. This can be used for this, this can be used for this, according to what the ordinance says. And one of the options that we had was for historical preservation, maintenance, sites, structures, areas. So we fit the ticket here. So what I'm looking for the township committee, if they're willing, and if they're not, we can think about it, come back to the next meeting, but I need some kind of answer and direction from the committee which way we should go, and then we would then award a contract to the winning bidder, and the payment would come through the trust fund, which is already a revenue stream that we have, and it's at times underutilized. If we're not acquisition of lands, money you're paying, a penny of your taxes goes into that. And this way we're using it for something, I think, our only historic district, I believe, right, is New Hampton Village. And this is in the village. And I just feel like if we're going to have a museum or any building, we got to keep the weather out. We'll start with a roof. This is phase one. Phase two is where the grants will kick in. We're trying to work grants to help, possibly, with the facade, which is the painting, the pencil etching of the stone, and the windows and stuff like that. And that would happen in concurrent years. So I'm looking to, and my feeling is Pickell Architects fits the bill. It's up to the committee. So I'm going to leave it with you guys right now. If there's anything, questions you might want to ask or anything like that, I'll be sure willing to answer them.
Well, I trust you have so much construction knowledge, and you've been working with that museum for so long that I trust your judgment in what you're looking at. And I'm fine with the story.
I thank you for that.
Yeah, and I'm fine with the open space.
Okay, that was the big thing, how we're going to fund it if you're willing. And like I said, we worked back and forth over the weekend with a lot of help from Lori as well, digging back because we even found the basis for that. And one of the things he says in his proposal, very short sentence, the 1825 schoolhouse is a fine example of early 19th century design and construction and is well worth preserving as an outstanding example of local stone school. Because it was a one-room school, was added onto a two-room school, and became a museum. He said the building is well maintained. Thank you, Lebanon Township, for maintaining it, but needs a new roof. Clearly states it right in there. So I think that we need to move this forward sooner than later. And
I just have a mm-hmm. So the $7,500 for the one architecture firm.
Yes.
So okay. That would get covered by a grant once we get the grant, potentially, right? Because there's some soft costs sometimes that get in the grant, and also at $7,500, we're below the $17,000, whatever it is, where we don't have to do prevailing wage.
No, he's an architect.
He's professional.
No, he's
the
services.
Architect. So okay. This will present a set of bids, a set of bid specs that will be, I don't know, probably be a CAD drawing of some nature, and a set of bid specs, and I would like enough for the town. And then we have to seal. We'd have to have a sealed set of specs because we're going to have to offer it to the building department, to let the building department look at it. They'll want a sealed set. There'll be a sealed set that has to be here, and I believe a sealed set on the site. And then there'll be construction drawings that will be handed out to the different contractors to bid on. But everyone will be looking at the same documents. And what's included in this is the architectural fee for work outlined above will be broken down between various phases as follows: existing condition documentation. So they actually physically go out there and they will look at the existing conditions and they'll document that. That cost bears about $1,800. Then you'll have the actual construction documents. That cost is $3,500, and then he will help with the bidding, but the township's going to be part of that bidding. That will be $750 for him to be with us for that. And then the construction, his administration fee for the construction is $1,500, which brings a total to $7,550. And his principal architects will receive an hourly rate of $170. The second guy, HMR, was $245, and Philadelphia was $345 for their architects. So this is something I think that he is able to do. And the other thing that I liked about him, too, is he will work with the township to put together public building documents, a list of potential bidders. He'll get us a list of bidders. I like that, too. And he will join us with the bidding and review the submitted bids with us. So I think he's there for us, and I think that at the hourly rate, if we would need additional work, this is who I think we should look towards. So
who's going to put it through the historical, the DEP?
They will do this. He said, we will work with Lebanon Township, so we'll have to do it with him and the New Jersey Historic Preservation Office to obtain authorization for the project. Difference between the other architect with the higher number, the township wasn't involved in it. He did it himself. So save a few bucks, we have to sit with it and do it.
We've done it before, so it shouldn't be that difficult.
That obviously doesn't include the cost of down the road to put the new roof together and do
no,
all that
absolutely
stuff, right?
Not.
That's where the bid comes into play. We had gotten previously some sort of a bid.
We have had bids in the past that roughly were non-prevailing wage, so we couldn't use them, around $50,000. And then
so triple that for prevailing wage.
No, we got one for prevailing wage that was around $90,000, but it was over the bid threshold, which we had to decide and go out and get three bids for the architects because we are over what our QPA can do internally here without going out to bid. So we have to go out to bid.
Technically, the proposals.
These are proposals. Yeah. Right. So I think that's where we're at, and I think that the open space funding is there for us this time to do that. And that's a big chunk of preserving a historic building.
But the $7,500, that doesn't come out of open space, does it?
Yeah, I think the administrative fees can.
Okay.
Yeah, we discussed that.
The language is pretty, you know, it obviously talks about maintenance of historic structures. So, you know, this is part of the process of maintaining it, right?
Mm-hmm. So if it couldn't, I wouldn't be here. Because we just
don't. No, I trust you.
Okay.
I just want to ask the question. So that wouldn't hit our budget, really.
Not going to hit our budget.
All right. That's what I'm concerned about right now because we're still developing
that we have
all that.
Already. It won't increase any taxes to the public. It's there, something that we have already. And there was a referendum in 2018 that actually asked the residents would they be willing to use open space fund for open space recreation maintenance, the park, and historical preservation, like something like this, and overwhelmingly the township voted in favor of it. So,
and Tom, correct me, what does the open space tax bring in roughly per year?
I'm going to give you a round number, around $92,000.
And what do we have in there now?
I'm going to say north of $1.3 million.
Okay, just for everybody hears.
And this is just round numbers. Don't hold me to it. We can get that number for you. I just don't. I shouldn't even said because I'm really not sure, but it's there.
And basically, it can only be used for open space and historical preservation at this point. Nothing else, right? They didn't add any other category.
No, that's it. Acquisition of land.
Just in case anybody's thinking we could take 400.
No, we can't do that.
Can't do that.
No.
We wouldn't even be here.
There's certain criteria that it can be used for and that for only. And when the township does the apportionment, once a year we apportion that fund, the trust. We apportion so much to open space acquisition, so much to farmland preservation, so much to historic preservation, so much to open space maintenance, trail maintenance, so much to Blue Acres, which we never really, we did one over on, I think, Raritan River Road. None of the money ever leaves the trust. It's just an apportionment. We say this is what you can spend if you do for this particular item. But it never leaves the trust until there's a invoice and a proposal. And at the end of the year, that has to be redone. So it only lasts for a year because it's done by a resolution.
Yeah, because it's required statutorily.
Right. So after a year, you have to do that again. One meeting, discussion once. I take enough of your time. So
no, you
it's good information. The other thing is, do we have to present to the county when we use that money at all? Is that part of the process?
No, this is our money. This is Lebanon Township residents.
Good.
Only if the county was kicking in, we'd have to do that.
I was thinking at the stage in the park that one time I thought that came up, and it was like, well, then you're going to have to present.
That is a point, because the county does charge us an open space tax that we can ask for on a yearly basis, which Lori has really hammered into my head.
Besides the penny we charge the township for open space, the county has an open space tax as well. Mm-hmm. That's what Tom was explaining.
And some of the
I don't know how much it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But the grants we're looking for are twofold. It would be through the county, open space, and also through the State Preservation Trust, that the two areas. And David Overaker, who's not here, put together a spreadsheet, and he's kind of spearheading with the committee on those grants. I think I just have taken enough time. I'm looking to move forward if the committee feels they're ready. Otherwise, I'm going to have it on the next meeting again.
By moving forward, you mean a resolution?
Yeah, you would have to award a contract by resolution.
So we'll do that at the next meeting.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine with me.
It's a fabulous price. I can't imagine getting it any cheaper. We'd be crazy not to do this.
Yeah.
Bev, got any thoughts?
Oh, I already said it.
Okay. Just check. She's given.
Thanks.
Rich? No, I agree.
You're good?
Yep.
Okay. I'm for it. Anybody else look like? Nobody frowned, so I think we're okay.
All right. So I would look forward to a resolution at the next regular meeting.
Yep. Carolyn, put that on there, please. All right. Okay, so that concludes the unfinished business. Now we're going to move to new business. And the first item under new business is public comments time. Who would like to start with that one?
Whose item is it? Who put it on?
Mr. Webb put it on.
Yeah, I believe that we should not have a general rule limiting public comment to 2 minutes per speaker applicable to all meetings, all speakers. I think I understand there's a need for limitation in certain circumstances, so we should have limitations that only apply in those circumstances. So I would suggest that we have no limit subject to, one, it being apparent that the nature of the topics of the meeting and the attendance at the meeting are such that in order to complete the meeting within the time that we have, we're not going to stay throughout the night till the next morning, we have to have a limit. And that limit could be set at that meeting for that reason. And what you set it at that point, if it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, that would depend on the circumstances. The other way in which it can be controlled is by the chair of the meeting, who can, in any given instance, decide that the speaker has exhausted his or her reasonable opportunity to address whatever given point they stood up to address. I think by not having a limit, you give people some flexibility, you give the committee some flexibility, you eliminate this whole idea of people feeling they can't get heard. But at the same time, it's not intended as a filibuster. You can't just get up there and talk, say the same thing 100 times just because you want to keep talking, or address topics that are clearly not appropriate to address at this meeting or at that time. So that would be my suggestion. Again, no limit subject to the conditions of a particular meeting calling for a limit, and the right of the chair to essentially gavel somebody after warning that you please finish, I'll give you another minute to finish up, that sort of thing. That would be my recommendation.
Abe?
I think that's unwieldy to do what Richard asked. I think I'd be certainly amenable to make it a little longer. I'd go to 4 minutes. If you can't make your position stated in 4 minutes, get it refined somewhere for you. But I don't want to hear it for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. The position should be concise, and 4 minutes is more than enough for a concise position statement. So I'll go to 4, but that's it.
Does 4 include the committee talking back to somebody if they're...
The chairman can always allow...
We're not supposed
to
have a
longer
debate society in the meetings, so...
It ends up there, I know.
That's why we're not going to do
that. The chairman's prerogative to go longer, but I'm saying it that 4 minutes is it, at least for me.
Any discussion?
Can the minutes be established that meeting? I mean, the time for speaking?
Well, I think... It's better practice to have it so it's established so people know rather than they show up and say, well, that's the definition of arbitrariness, so you don't want to do that. I think you want to be able to have a process, procedure in place so everybody's aware of it.
And to be honest, it puts a lot of weight on the mayor to tell someone you spoke too long. But if you have an arbitrary number, that would lead up to it. It's, to me, you can't speak anymore. That's kind of tough. So I would kind of tend to want to see some end period. To me, 3 minutes is fine. I'm willing to accommodate longer. 5 minutes is a lifetime speaking up there, in my opinion. But I do think there needs to be some minute that says, this is the time limit, you're done.
Just so you know, that you know, on the Open Public Meetings Act, it says that there should be a time set aside during a public meeting for public comment about government business. That's what it's supposed to be.
It's right? Not to include political statements.
My point is that, like, you know, Committeeman Kohler indicated, you know, going back and forth, it's not intended to have a discourse.
Right.
It's so that it's a public meeting. People want to say, hey, you know, like when somebody comes up and talks about trees or road problems and stuff like that. That's what it's intended for.
Yeah, like
because government, look, you have meetings. It's to conduct business, right? And most of the business gets conducted every day because of the staff is here, but then there's certain things that requires the governing body to do things. And it's just not, right, it's never intended for an answer, question-answer session. I mean, if those things are, again, people can do that, but that's what the law requires. And I think, you know, from again, experience, I've seen how this has evolved over time, having attended public meetings for the last 30 years. And I'll tell you what's changed is the public. And then it's the people become confrontational. Unfortunately, society has this idea that, you know, they can say what they want, when they want to do it, no matter what the ramifications, cast aspersions to people, make an ad hominem attack about people's character. That's not what it's intended for. And so that's where I've seen more and more towns, all my other towns have limits on it, and I'm just saying you're not the only one that does it, and more towns have gone to that because of that situation, right? And then so that you don't have, it's different in planning boards and zoning boards. Those meetings are different. And because of the fact that the people there are really, when it's open, some of them are testifying, even if it's public comment. So the situation is a little bit different. It only requires a portion of the minute to be open to the public for them to comment about government business, right? And since COVID, right, it's really gotten crazy in a lot of places. And it's a shame. I think it's a reflection of our society, which, again, is a shame because, you know, things aren't going in the right direction. And so I think governments have, not to shut people down or shut people up, but so that you can conduct businesses and then so that we're not here having 10-hour meetings, right? I just want to put that out there. When you look at what the Open Public Meeting Act says, what it's intended for.
Well, as to the specific time limit, it's not generally supposed to be a question and answer period, but at times it becomes a question and answer period, and it's okay that happens in certain instances when a resident has a comment or asks a question, and someone on a committee has the answer, so they provide the answer. And then there's a follow-up question. Then you provide the answer to that. And now is there going to be somebody with a stopwatch that's saying, well, now you're talking. Okay, that's your time. And now that's the committee person. Now that's on their time. How are you going to do that with the 3 minutes and the 4 minutes? Because you could easily get over 4 minutes if you engage in that type of back and forth.
That's my point. That's not what it's intended
for. I know that's not what it's intended for, but for all the meetings I've come to for the last 4 years, that happens a lot. So whether it's intended or it's not intended, it happens. And I think it should happen in some instances. Not as often as it does, but it should happen in some instances. And when it does, it's inevitably going to bump up against whatever, you know, there's 2 minutes and 3 minutes and 4 minutes.
So, again, generally the chair has the authority or ability to extend it. And that's usually what happens.
Okay.
So I took the liberty of looking at what the surrounding towns to this town do. And Franklin Township, Hunterdon County, 5 minutes. Union County, 5 minutes. Alexandria, towns. Alexandria 3, Highbridge 3, Tewksbury 5. So it seems to be a range anywhere between 3 and 5. So I'd be willing to go off of the 2 and say 3 or 4.
I think that Mark is right with that, and to your point, the when you answer, you know, that starts to extend it. I think at that point, the clock stops. You know, and then it's up to the chair to say, I think we've exhausted this discussion.
Okay.
You know, in my opinion, that has to be directed here. But I do think that I'm willing to increase the amount of time. So there is a ceiling that we know because, you know, someone can talk for 20 minutes and we have a two-hour meeting and we have, certain obligations here to do the business of the town at a certain time frame. So I could go anywhere 3 to 5.
How you want to tackle that one?
I'll make a motion to do it at 4. That's all.
All right. Second.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to say anything, though.
Oh,
can I just say? Yeah, I'm sitting here taking it all in. Yeah. The only thing I ask is consistency. If you're going to make it 4 minutes, you can't, because you know this person or whatever, you like their topic, let them be. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
I've seen it. And yeah. I would like to be.
We're
going to
add a lot more rigor to the meetings this year.
Yeah. Because it was always the way it always was in the past, and I get what you're saying. People have changed, things have changed. Used to be whenever we had a big meeting over at the school, that's when they would impose the limit because they wanted everybody to be able to have a chance to talk. And we never had that problem here. And I'd be willing to let it go for a little bit without a limit. And if you see that starts happening, things aren't good, you could put a limit on. But I could also go for the 4 minutes. I'm fine. So.
Well, we have a motion, so we should. Let's re-motion
it since I spoke. So who made the motion?
I'll make the motion again.
I'll second it again.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wogan?
Yes. Okay. Moving on.
You're back up at bat again.
Yeah, this started out as a simple, let's pick a date. And then it got complicated. So we're not going to be able to this is the volunteer appreciation event, date selection. First of all, we've got a really good accountant, CFO, and auditor right now. And there's a problem with using township money for food, and let alone booze. Forget that, but food. So that kind of puts a limit on things. I've got some options there. But so we either don't have a picnic, or somebody pays for the picnic. Like if somebody were to want to volunteer to pay for the picnic, you'd have to have a resolution accepting the money, or how does that work?
if people want to make donations for a particular event.
Yeah, over a certain amount. Like
the other towns have, when they have special events, for instance, a lot of towns when they have fireworks to get sponsors. Mm-hmm. Right, and they solicit sponsorships, and people make sponsorship for that particular event.
Yeah, well, this isn't going to be that complicated. This is more like the memorial policy. When somebody gives over a certain amount of money, you really need to accept it by resolution.
Yeah, if it's going to be monetary, you probably should just document it by resolution, whatever it is.
Yeah, okay. So the thing is even no matter what, so we have that part solved. I think we know what we're going to do there. The dates are subject to, like, I was going to do the pavilion. Rich and I are, since we got elected this year, usually that's who runs the pick, whoever's elected. So we could do the pavilion, but the good dates that really avoid graduations and hay season and everything, we had it always boiled down to the second week in June. The pavilion is booked. So we could do. So then I went to September was the next possible. That's booked too for the most part. So we have a squad building. We could do it over there. I put an email out to B. Reed. Oh, who's the
Reed?
Is it, what's his first name?
Ben.
Okay, I didn't know that. I just was told go to B. Reed.
Thank you, Chief.
So I ended up emailing him today. But there's also we could also do it at a restaurant in the area, like a local restaurant that holds 50, 60, probably 50 people, because that's what we usually get. And there are a couple around here that we could do it at. So that's where I'm at. with this. I don't know if anybody, how anybody else feels about this.
So if we do it at a restaurant or something, we can pick a variety of dates, obviously.
Yeah. It could be a Friday night. It could be whatever. Friday, Saturday night.
Have you explored the cost of that yet?
I've already done it so many times. I know what it's going to cost. Okay. So I just, you know.
So you know how much we have to come up in donations.
Yeah. But, I'm not telling you guys you have to. I mean, we have
a couple people can do it.
Well, I'll look into it. Yeah. I'll do some research and come up with the options. Like, it's not going to be a big dinner dance like we had at the Bloomsbury Firehouse. We'll just do a local.
Yeah.
And it might even be at over here. So we'll see.
Be nice if we could use
It's either that or we don't have one, and I don't think you should not have one.
I agree.
We missed last year, right?
We missed last year.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Maybe 2 years in a row.
I've been on a committee 2 years now.
Hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Enough?
Yes.
So we got you to explore that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll have some more information for February.
So I'll designate Ms. Kohler, Committee Woman Kohler, to look into the appreciation event. All right. The next thing on the agenda is the Voorhees Municipal Alliance participation.
Me?
If you would like to take that one too, Ms. Kohler.
Yeah, this is.
What, Miss or Ms.? What's your pronouns?
Bev. Just call me Bev.
Okay, Bev.
I never even wanted to be called mayor. It was more like I didn't even respond. Anyway, it's the Department of Human Services works with the schools, and they've got a grant. It's the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Youth Services Grant, and there's an alliance, Voorhees Municipal Alliance, and there are a bunch of towns that are a part of that. We don't give money, but they want us to buy in to this program and say that we're okay with the school getting this grant money from the state. And they have to get matching funds, but it's not the township's matching funds. It's coming from the school raising money, the sponsorships, whatever. So really, I tried to get a lot of information on this last year, and it's kind of spotty. But it looks like also what happened this year is a lot of people kind of just drifted away from it. So they're trying to say now that it's not enough for us to just say, yes, we are in agreement, I'll use your word. That archaic word. You know, we're in agreement that we would like the school to continue and go for this grant money and raise their funds and all that, and we're in. But now they want us to be a part of four meetings a year, quarterly meetings, which would be, it could be the mayor, it could be an employee, but I don't even know what the meeting dates are. I mean, I'm the liaison into the Board of Education. I have no problem doing it, but I don't know what day or time, and I want to get them on the calendar. So if we can...
Is that for Voorhees High School?
It'll probably be at Voorhees, but it's a lot of... It's High Bridge, it's us, it's a bunch of towns.
I read it.
Yeah, so that's where we're at with this. I mean, if we can get... I guess we have to email Haley and ask her, when are these meetings?
I think that there were no dates specified yet. She just wanted an answer from each of the municipalities saying that they'll have a representative from the town to partake in the meeting.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to hold... I mean, this grant might be...
Correct.
If you don't go, and it's going to be a black mark. And the thing is that every year we would get this thing, and we would just rubber stamp it. I was like, yeah. And then it turns out that there's a thing in there that says you will agree to terms and conditions and all this. And so I asked them, what are these terms and conditions? It's like reporting and all this kind of stuff that we never did. Never did any reporting. And it was going in it. No, it was supposed to be on the municipalities. It was going in a circle, and nobody could really tell me. Then I gave the terms and conditions to you. I guess I went back to my emails. So last year it was like a letter of agreement, and you were okay with what you saw. So, I mean, based on that, I have no problem going forward with this. It doesn't cost us any money. It's a good program. We just need to have representation. So I just need to know the dates.
Do we need to vote on it or do anything like that?
Well, I'm just reading this, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, usually they need a resolution for the members. The alliance would want something formal.
Yeah.
My experience dealing with Municipal Alliance in other towns.
So can we put a resolution on for the next meeting?
Well,
they need it right away, I think. I think it's...
We do a resolution when we do the grant portion of it, which we did last year for this. It ends in June of 26.
So, but what is it then?
They're just looking for somebody from the town to participate in the meetings of the.
So they just want a body there.
Correct.
Yeah, they never needed that.
Well, then
before.
I think who's going to step backwards?
Well, like I said, it's the Board of Education. I'm the liaison into the Board of Education. They want the mayor, but they said it doesn't have to be the mayor. So I mean.
You just have to select somebody to go to
correct.
The meetings.
And even if we have to have two, this I think it could be more than one. Like we could have you and
it
I can.
Be anybody. Just somebody.
If you're busy, I can do it. If I'm busy, you can do it. You can do it. Or
could be a volunteer from the audience.
Right.
Anybody can go.
Yeah, anybody. Deputy mayor or deputy clerk could go. I'm
everybody
sure they're
volunteer.
Chip, what are you doing on August 5th?
Who makes the cash? The cash match. On this.
They have to raise the school. Voorhees
okay.
has to raise. They, you know, it's funny that the stuff they put out to us makes it look like as if we have to give money, okay? But it's not. That's why I asked all those questions last
because
year.
Because the Municipal Alliance is the sending districts and the municipalities within those districts.
Right.
Make up the Municipal Allowance.
And I think we're the lead because we have Voorhees is in Lebanon Township.
Okay.
So. But we don't do anything as
okay.
the lead. It's just a figurehead
right.
situation. No money, nothing. It's
okay.
So that's where we're at. So do you want me to reach out to Haley and
yeah,
get those dates?
No, I already spoke with her, so I'll speak with her.
Okay.
And if we need to, we'll do a resolution at the next meeting.
Yeah. And I have an old resolution from, it was. I looked it up. I didn't get a chance to bring it.
No,
it was May.
That
of.
We're okay. I know what
yeah.
you're talking about. That's actually to submit the grant. This
yeah.
is, again, somebody... a body for their meeting.
Yeah.
And if it has to be needed, then so be it.
Resolution. Okay.
Okay.
Need dates. Yes, that's it. So that's it for tonight with that.
I'm taking you off the list.
I got
three more to go, folks. So. Not in subsequent. So just let's go on to the next one. The 2026 junkyard license for Birds Salvage. Can we have
okay.
a vote?
Yeah.
Like a consensus vote?
No, take a
vote.
A vote?
Vote call.
A vote to approve the...
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve Bird Salvage Yard.
Second.
Mr. Radikowski?
Roll call.
Yeah.
Ms. Fuller?
Yes.
Mr. Roll call.
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. All right. Boy Scout Troop 92, request for Eagle Scout proclamation, and I believe our clerk has information on that one.
The committee has one of the scout leaders reached out. They've requested a proclamation for these two young gentlemen who are moving to Eagle Scout, and this is the projects they completed. I just put it before you. I could do the proclamations. I just wanted you to have the information because we're a little bit out of time crunch to make sure that they have it in time. The mayor will be invited if they have not already reached out. But I just wanted the committee's approval to move forward to get a proclamation together that the mayor will sign.
Any discussion?
We need a motion?
Any discussion from anybody?
I think it's.
I think
you guys are all good.
Yeah.
Forward.
And I think it's. And I had to look twice because Matthew Sam, I think, is the brother, probably of the one that we did. The last one we did was the same last name.
Oh. Okay.
That's why I thought it was in the old one, and I. So.
I'm good with anything the Boy Scouts do.
Sam,
so.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to call them Boy Scouts anymore?
Well, that's what it says on there, doesn't it? Boy Scout troop.
Just
Scouts. I thought there was something that had changed with that, because I was a Cub Scout.
Yeah. Okay.
I never made it to Boy Scout, sorry.
So I will make that motion to approve a proclamation for Matthew Thomas Sam and Madden Ronald Kramer.
Second.
Mr.
Abakowski? Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr.
Logan? Yes. All right. Now we're going to talk about JCP&L.
Yeah, the trees.
Tree trimming beginning January and February. And Carolyn, if you wouldn't mind updating everybody on it.
JCP&L, their arborist came in, it was in December. To let the town know of all the roads that they're going to be trimming trees along, and
there's
of which is 3 pages long. And again, as I told Lori Hoffman, when she asked, they are saying they will trim trees within 15 feet of the right of way. It will remove dead or what do you call defective tree. And then any pruning of vegetation growing on the poles. So they're starting in January. Started already, and they said it'll take up to 6 months to do the entire task. And they'll also be working in the substations, which was another time that they stopped by, and there looks like there's five or so substations. So they're making their way through. But there's a list. There's three pages of different ones.
And you'll have the list on the township website for everybody to look at? I would like you to put that on there for them, please.
I can't guarantee that they're actually all 11 on campus, so maybe in Calicon, because they obviously can confuse the two, but to the best of what they could give me, it's there.
Well,
all
on
these
the,
are on Lebanon Township.
Yeah, on the list, it says Lebanon Township.
We originally had a bunch of Calicon ones. I have Kim corrected them all.
Yeah.
I don't know them all if it's not in my head. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Township Clean Communities Coordinator update. Once again, you're on deck.
So, Nicole Roberts, our administrative assistant, has completed the Clean Communities Coordinator classes, and she is now certified. So we have a certified Clean Communities Coordinator. Mm-hmm. She's working hard to figure out how to spend our grant money.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I just wanted to congratulate her.
Yeah.
Job well
done. Let's thank you very much to Nicole for getting that done. All right, next on the agenda under new business, Lebanon Township domain implementation and multi-factor authentication, which is
brutal.
Which is everybody's dream, but it's something that a lot of companies, my whole career in IT and software, so it's something that you have to do nowadays because of the hacking. You know, you read about some of the townships that have been hacked and have to pay ransom to get their systems back. So multi-factor authorization, which is on your phone, you just get it, is imperative. And then I believe our insurance carrier insists that we have that as well.
I think at some point Microsoft's going to require it. It's not gonna
they be are.
Good. Yeah.
They do already.
Okay. Well, we hit the switch today. So now we are lying.
You'll get it.
I just wish they had better instructions.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I did the same thing.
I said, what the hell?
Mayor, the other part of that, which is another big piece, which this is going to take a little bit of time to roll out, but I know RIT is pushing me. So back at the beginning of 25, there was a request to get a .gov domain.
Oh, yes.
Because currently, all Lebanon Township is .net. So it took a bit of work on my part, because I had to reach out to the .gov government site. They called me, they interrogated me, and asked me to make sure we were truly
a
government entity. Mm-hmm. And I was very nervous of changing in my seat after.
Did you have to provide ID?
Well, I talked to them over the phone.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I got to be honest, I don't remember what they asked me, but it was a long conversation. Mm-hmm. So the township was able to obtain a .gov domain. It is LebanonTownshipNJ.gov. And I'm already working with IT. They've incorporated that domain with .net domain. And what's going to happen is eventually everybody in the township's email address will switch from lebtwip.net to lebanontownshipnj.gov. The .net will still be an alias, so if anybody emails, it'll still get through. Eventually, one day, and when you reply, it'll be .gov, so people will be replying to .gov. But eventually the .net will end up just kind of going away or going by the wayside. But moving to the .gov, I spoke with the chief. He actually gave me some information because it was a request from PD. I guess there's some programs that they can't even access without a .gov email.
Yep.
So it's increased security, and there's protection from impersonation because it's a .gov, and there's no cost for the domain. We do pay a small fee for the .net domain, which, again, we have to keep. We just don't have a choice. But eventually what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks is we're going to roll out to the .gov, so everybody's going to change. The first part's going to stay the same. The end will change, but you can still get it to .net. So it's just a step in moving to more secure with the two-factor and everything. So we're trying to kind of coordinate it all together.
Excellent.
Good work on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine.
Okay. So we're going to move right along here. We're going to have Miss Kohler, you're back up again.
Are you kidding?
School lights update.
Okay. Back in the year 2000, there were towns that somehow agreed to, if these traffic school crossing lights went bad, the towns would be responsible for the cost. So we worked through that. There's like one company, General Systems, whatever. General Highway Products. We finally got the project done. We looked inside and everything. But when they were in there, they realized that. You remember what the other bill came to? It was like $8,000, $10,000 that we had to pay for school lights.
The repair we just did?
Yeah, it was like not the new stuff, but the one that we did originally was like for the two lights. Okay, so it was $14,000. When they were in there, they realized that we needed two solar panels and a light housing, and it was an additional $1,821, but that'll keep it working flawlessly for the long run. So I'm just looking for a motion to approve that $1,821 from Tacadon General Main. What is it, General Highway?
General
Highway Products.
We're still under what we, so we did put this in capital last year, we're still under what we put aside on capital for the school lights. So
it's in the budget.
It was in the budget.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just curious to me that we have to pay for stuff the school is doing, but I guess it's part of the unfunded mandates.
No, there was an agreement there.
I understand. Road. Yeah, I won't go into that right now.
Yeah.
So I'd like to make a motion to tack that $1,821.
To amend.
To amend the proposal. So do we need something at the next meeting?
No, I mean, because it's going to bill list. You know, ultimately, when you do it, they'll approve it as part of the bill list, but just going to authorize the additional expenditure.
You're getting soft in the new
No,
year?
Because you already
checking.
Had... Just, there two.
Just checking. Yeah. All right.
Getting older, but not soft.
So that's
right.
It.
We
so
need
we
need
don't
concurrence?
Have...
So we don't have to do
just,
it?
No. Take it. You can take a
Let's
vote
take a
to,
vote.
To authorize
just so we put it in this...
Additional
you know, put
expenditure.
It in.
Okay, yep. Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Woodard?
Yes. Okay. So, another one that's up, our glorious governor has...
Former
governor, thank you, has made a change to the farmland preservation rules and whatnot, and Committeewoman Kohler is going to...
Yeah.
Inform
yeah.
us on that as well.
So there's Assembly Bill 3446 and Senate Bill 3446, Assembly Bill 6278. They say the same thing. Basically, what this does is they want to raise the revenue requirements on the farm assessment. We have something like 35,000 properties that are farm assessed, and they want to make sure that they're valid farm assessments. So they've raised it, but. The problem here is that they're now going to have a portal. Like right now we do paperwork. Every farm has a paperwork. You come to see the tax assessor. You fill it out in July. You bring it in by August 1st and you're done with it. She, you know, approves or disapproves, whatever. They have this portal now. And it's for the next 3 years, they're probably going to be working the bugs out of it. So when I talk to the tax assessor, I probably shouldn't say things like this, but the word to the wise is continue to do it through the paperwork process with her, because a lot of times people forget things, and she has to work with them. And if you go into this portal and you start using it, you can't get out. And she's going to have to get a special link to get in, to get your paperwork. So I just wanted to make the public know that we're behind sticking with the process until they work the kinks out. Because then 3 years, it's going to be forever.
Are they going to make it
forever.
Mandatory?
Huh?
They're making it mandatory.
Yeah, they will make it. In 3 years, it'll be mandatory.
And then they'll charge us for it.
And, you know, a lot of our farmers are older, too. They might not even have computers. Who knows? They have to go to a library and do it. It's a lot of paperwork.
I agree.
So,
I think it tears up the agricultural community. Most of our farmers here, the age is around 60 years old on an average across the nation. Here in Lebanon Township, we have farmers that are 95 years old. I think this is a disaster. I think it's not good. It doesn't help the township. Takes away from local powers. I'm adamantly against it.
Yeah.
But it's a mandate that was forced on us. Nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we go into the final one of new business. Hunter County celebration of America's 250th birthday. So on... I got a thing from the historians, I believe it was, Lori, right?
that because Lebanon Township was one of the original townships in Hunterdon County, we actually used to take Tewksbury and Clinton Township used to be part of Lebanon Township, believe it or not. We were big. So anyway, they're going to do the raising of the Liberty Pole at Memorial Park, and that's going to be on August 15th in the morning. He didn't have a definite time yet, but it was like 11? Okay, thank you. 11 o'clock. That means I'm going to have to come back from the shore, do that, and go back. That's fine. So that's just for everybody's knowledge. That's part of what we're going to do for 250th. There's other folks working on some other things for the township for the 250th birthday of the United States of America. All right. Now we're getting on to presentation of vouchers. Can I get a motion to... Usually when you cough, that means I'm going down the wrong so I'm just checking.
I didn't kick you.
Either Bev kicks me or he coughs.
No.
Or Tom does this with his cuff, like the coaches. Presentation vouchers. I'd like to get a...
I'll make a motion to adopt.
Thank you.
A motion to adopt Resolution 32-2026 authorizing payment of bills, claims, and statements of the Township of Lebanon in the total amount of $158,930.91.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Fuller?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Logan?
Yes. All right. We have some department head reports that are in the package. Yep. Anybody have any discussion on that?
No.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Now I'd like to get a motion to open to public comment. Anything you want to talk about?
What's the time?
Starts
next time.
We haven't done that yet. So right now it's still limited to 2 minutes per speaker. We're willing to accommodate a little different. So can I get a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment for anything you want to talk about.
Second.
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Fuller?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Logan?
Yes. Floor is yours. Anybody?
Oh. Christine DiLorenzo. Because I'm not on social media, a number of people brought to my attention disturbing social media posts authored by Robert Foster and Chip Engel while they were campaigning. As a result of these posts, I'd like to read the definition of disinformation. Disinformation is false information that is designed to mislead others and is deliberately spread with the intent to manipulate truth and facts. Disinformation affects elections by spreading false narratives that undermine trust in the electoral process, influencing public opinion and voter behavior. It is important to point out that unlike misinformation, the foundation of disinformation is malicious and deceptive. In the future, I hope residents stay vigilant against disinformation by actively seeking out the truth themselves. Don't take someone's word just because he or she knocked on your door with the intent to manipulate your intelligence and your emotions. We need to protect ourselves from disinformation and manipulation so we can build stronger relationships with one another and help promote a healthier political and social environment. Also, we need to be discerning in our consumption and sharing of information, especially on social media. Always value truth over propaganda and progress over division. We live in a great community, and because we do, we need to constantly be vigilant about building a better future for ourselves and generations to come. Allowing and accepting people to spread disinformation like a disease because they want to sit up there will only weaken and destroy this community. Which brings me to a more recent Chip Engel post where he begins, "Dear Democrats," in his post, Mr. Angel repeats unsubstantiated rumors that KKK meetings were held at our former mayor's house. I am shocked by Mr. Angel's repeating unsubstantiated rumors on social media and in public. Why am I shocked? Mr. Angel is a prominent mental health advocate known for his work with the National Alliance of Mental Illness and the National Shattering the Silence Coalition. What kind of mental health advocate repeats unsubstantiated rumors knowing such information can harm a person's reputation and affect one's mental and physical health? I would prefer to see residents stop the rumors, stop the attacks, stop the division, stop the disinformation, and instead come together, share ideas, and engage respectfully and without doing harm to others. And I'll say it again, stop spreading disinformation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DiLorenzo. Anybody else?
Greg Jones, Ravine Road. Congratulations. Happy New Year to all. Congratulations to newly elected and also to the new mayor and deputy mayor. And
I was here for the same reason. I got an email after our reorg from a friend of mine from Washington Township who runs a political site. And it said, hey, I wanted to tell you, I went to the Bear Beers and Brews, whatever, festival last year, because he has a political site. He went to interview people. And he said, and the Democratic candidate there were sitting there, and the Republican chairman came over, and they exchanged niceties. And as he walked away, Mr. Angel leaned over and pointed at him and said to me, he has KKK meetings at his house. And I thought, do I not know that? They're like, wouldn't that be something we'd all be talking about every day? But that apparently was the exchange. And I went on, and then I heard another, I heard somewhere else, and then I heard this story today. So it's just like, when Mr. Foster, who I've known for 50 years, known his wife in high school, go back with him, when he first put his hat in, he gave me a call. I said, look, I've run... I ran John McCain's New Jersey campaign. I've run Freeholder campaigns. I've been in politics for years, doing speech writing. And so I said, just walk in slow. You get 6,000 people in this town. Be nice. Come in. Be a good neighbor. You know, will you win year one? Maybe not. But just don't be a jerk. I mean, don't, you know, use common sense and you know, use your judgment on stuff that you hear and what you say. And, that didn't work. And then Chip was actually knocked on my back door, said the same thing everybody says, nice guy. And then you read this, and it's just like, in today's world, who's going to believe that your mayor is having KKK meetings in the house? You know? And then that opens a whole other thing. Like, if I knew that, what's it incumbent upon me to do? Do I just go... Well, or do you go to the FBI? I looked it up. It's a domestic hate group. You know, the FBI won't be like, no, we're understood. See you later. And it just is just crazy. So, I don't even have, I don't know if the Democratic Party's chair people here, I don't know. But, I mean, it just seems like there ought to be some, I know I chaired the Republican committee next door in Washington Township for years, and I would have been taking strong action on something like this with candidates that are doing that. And it's the kind of thing you should lose your house for. That's what the courts are for. I mean, it's outrageous. So I just wanted to say that. I don't know how far this thing is out. You mentioned that it was in a Facebook group. I think it's in a private Democrat Facebook group. So whether that post was seen by 10 people or 50, but is it the kind of thing you go home and say, How was your day, dear? Nothing? Or has I heard anything interesting? Yeah, I would definitely repeat that. And it's the kind of thing that goes wild all over the place. And it's hard enough to get people, good people, to want to put their time in. And it's certainly, if the atmosphere is something like this, it'll become even harder. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Anybody else?
I guess I'll have to comment.
Brian Wonder, former mayor of Lebanon Township, never had any KK meetings. Didn't even know they still exist. I guess they maybe they do somewhere. Don't know. And I've never been a member of the Democratic Party, so that would resolve me from being a KKK member, because that's what history shows. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori, because I have to withhold any comments.
I'm changing.
Thank you.
I just hope our township doesn't go down that horrible road. Just an example of what Bev's saying of having two meetings. If there was two meetings, which I understand now there's going to be two in February, but when you get down to the in the fall months, there's only one. What Tom wants you to do a resolution, that will take a whole month. And that's the problem the historians always had, that you had the first and the third, and we had our meetings on the second Thursday, so we were always too late to get on the agenda, so we always had to wait a whole month. And that's the same thing you're going to be doing again. So it could be, if it's something we wanted to do, you're extending what needs to go on the agenda, especially the finances is another thing, too, as of putting it off. You can't vote on, like, you keep pushing on, well, next meeting we'll do a resolution. That next meeting is going to be a whole month away. That's the only thing. I go for 2 minutes. Wait, one more thought on that? When you hold special meetings, you just put them online. So everyone's, not, unless they go online and look for it, you don't know that they happen. So if we already knew, it was always the first and the third. We always knew we could come to a township meeting. Now you don't. You know, now it's the second Tuesday, second Wednesday. Now we don't know when you're holding all these special meetings. Like, you've approved all these minutes for all these special meetings. Oh. That how many people knew about them?
Anybody else wish to opine? Seeing nobody. I'll ask to close public comment.
Thank you, resolution. Make a motion to close public comment.
Motion? Can I get a second?
Second.
Mr. Abitowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wozniak?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Nope. Sorry.
We're going to go into executive session. Can I get a motion to authorize executive session?
Now we have to resolution.
Resolution 34-2026.
I'll make that motion.
Wait a minute. It's 34 now?
Yes.
Okay.
Still 30.
All right. And the categories are, you make it.
We don't have to.
We have to add one that's on here that's not on here. Collective bargaining, contract negotiations, personnel, and litigation. Abe made the motion to adopt 33-2026. I'll second it.
Yes.
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 Okay.